on the people. Dancing on the people like I.
Everybody in the booth can tell myself.
SMQB's episode 198. It is a wonderful, wonderful day today. One of the best days in the last 20 years, that's for sure. I think, you know, it is. It sure is. And hey, Milk, let's start with you. Who are you bringing to the bar this week?
Well, after last night, I'm going to be bringing our general manager, Jason Late, to the bar because I'd like some answers on what we're going to do in the draft and in the post free agency season to get the ability to not leave open wide receivers over the middle of the field, which is a consistent problem all year, and have a healthy cornerback who doesn't get hurt every other game. So, yeah, better players on defense. Please tell me the plan.
All right. House, what about you?
You guys know who Jim Murphy is? Nobody did yesterday, but they sure do today. I don't know if you guys saw, but our great wide receiver of the Philadelphia Eagles, A.J. Brown, decided during the game to read a book on the sidelines. He had a total of one reception and wasn't very involved in the game. So he decided to read Jim Murphy's Inner Excellence. Yesterday, Jim Murphy's Inner Excellence was number 552,709 on Amazon's bestseller list. Today, it's number one. Jim,
unreal.
You'll be buying the drinks at the bar, buddy.
Wow.
Yeah, that is for sure. All right, Rooster, what about you?
Well, you guys sort of stole it from me in the pre-session, but I'm bringing Marcus Freeman to the bar, and I'm gonna suggest to him that he stay put because coaching a bad NFL team is not as good a gig as what he's got going at Notre Dame. He's really built that team up. He's always been known as a great recruiter. The students, the players loved the choice when he was picked, but a lot of the older alums were skeptical, and now he's proven them wrong. He ought to stay and just become a Notre Dame legend. He'll never buy another drink again anywhere in the country if that happens.
All right, Hope.
Well, let's revisit who I took to the bar last week because it's totally relevant to who I'm taking this week. Last week I said, and I quote, "I'm going to take Mike McCarthy to the bar, buy him a shot, and wish him good luck and hopefully take him to the train station and get him the hell out of Dallas." Well,
he's gone.
Earlier today, it's gone. It happened. So who am I going to take? First of all, I'd like to have a GM to take, but I don't have one, so I must take the owner who fashions himself as a GM. And I'm going to find out from Jerry the fuck his thought process is, because Lord knows getting inside that brain right now would be quite scary. I'm sure he's got visions of Coach Prime, Shedeur Sanders somehow manipulating the draft, getting up there. The splash that he could make with Coach Prime. He's probably thinking about Chucky, you know, how, well, maybe we could rekindle the great Chuckiness of the past and make a run where the Cowboys, or like Ron Rivera, you know, just somebody who would just beat us to death. I have no fucking clue who he's thinking about. I do know that he missed the window for talking to the Lions OC in DC. And then
he's all choked up from this one.
He's verklempt.
I'll jump in. I want to take Brian Pope and find out why we have to continue to talk about the completely irrelevant Dallas Cowboys. that's not who I'm actually.
I mean, Jerry doesn't care about getting a winning coach. It's all about selling tickets. So you're right. It might be prime time or someone like that, but it's not going to be a winner.
I actually want to bring one Bill Vinovich. You guys know who Bill Vinovich is? Bill Vinovich is the NFL referee who was whispering sweet nothings into the ear of Josh Allen over on the bench yesterday at some point during the game. I have never seen that before. I don't know if you all caught it. Apparently, Allen was pretty upset about a non-PI or holding call and was really letting the refs have it. And they came back, and there's Vinovich on the Buffalo sideline. Allen is sitting on the bench, on the warmer, and Vinovich is over there talking to him. Apparently, he was telling him to lighten the fuck up and stop, you know, barking at everybody. He was going to get a penalty. But it was a very weird, very weird situation. And I heard somebody comment that if that had been a referee talking to Mahomes, the internet would have melted down about whatever conspiracy was about to happen. So, yeah. Bill Vinovich, I got some questions for you, but just over a beer, nothing too scary. All right, guys, let's jump into NFL Super Wildcard Weekend. House, take it away.
I mean, just wow. I guess we've got one more game. They've been crescendoing from really, really boring to really, really exciting last night to who knows what is in store for tonight. I know we texted a little bit about whether or not the Rams or Chargers truly have a fan base in LA, given that they've kind of been vagabonds in the NFL and stuff like that. But surely the Rams have some degree of fan base. And I feel bad about this situation with the game. I mean, obviously what's going on in LA is like beyond apocalyptic, beyond terrible. But it's touched the sports world too. And the fact that this game has to be played in Phoenix, or I guess Glendale in Arizona tonight, is a real shame, but it's nonetheless, it should be a great game. The winner of that game, as we all know, will be playing my beloved Philadelphia Eagles. And I am nervous as hell about that. I guess we'll start kind of going backwards in time.
I mean, they were all kind of dud games, weren't they? They were all kind of duds until last night.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles got uncomfortably interesting for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, last night was, as Bison said on the text string, I mean, do you think the NFL got what they wanted when they put the Sunday night game? They got it right, didn't they? Milk, I am sorry to put you through this. I know you were there. I know it's your team. Not long ago, you told me that Baker is a franchise quarterback. Baker made a blunder that cost you the game. I'm curious, first off, how you feel about Baker today.
No changes. Baker threw 42 touchdowns this year. He had an unbelievable season. I don't fault him at all for that. Look, that couldn't have happened at a worse time. Could have happened at a worse position on the field, giving them a 10 yards to score a touchdown. A horrible moment, but like, I don't know. Shit happens, and it shouldn't take away from the season he had, because it was unbelievable. I think we do have a franchise quarterback, but he's not the reason we lost.
Let me ask you.
Your defense is the reason you lost.
Again, it's a hard question. You're allowed to say, with Bison sitting here right in front of you, do you think, in your mind, Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans and Patrick Meichler's The Milk, your mind, do you think the better team won last night?
I don't you dare do this.
Come
to
on.
Me.
I want to know.
I think that the better coach team won last night. Oh. I thought Bowles was outcoached. I thought good old Cliffy had an unbelievable offensive game plan. We were limited. Our strength is our offense, obviously. We were limited to 3 offensive possessions in the first half, which is crazy. I thought this plan to get it to 3rd and 3 on every down, on every series, and just give it to Jaden to get the first down was brilliant. They made that one big pass play to Terry in the first possession or second series. But other than that, it was dink and dunk. And hey, we're going to go for it on 4th down every freaking time. And I thought they limited Bucky. in the first half very well. He came around in the second half, but man, they had a brilliant offensive game plan and they went after our defensive issues, which is what they have all, you know, it's like, it's the NFL. You can get all the way to playoffs, but the same problems that you've had all year, they don't just like magically disappear. We cannot cover receivers in the middle of the field. I've said this like 10 times on this podcast. Again, all night, over the middle of the field, open guys, third and three, third and four. Our corners, like Jamel Dean is either like, he's either hurt or I guess playing well, but it's like one or the other. Like he's just so unreliable. He goes out of the game. McLaurin scores on Edwards.
Melk, how many divisional titles has Bowles won in a row? Five?
Like three or four.
Okay. So look, your problem is you can't cover anyone. You used to have great defenders on that team in the backfield, and they're all gone. They're all playing for other teams.
You don't have anyone.
Why aren't you mad at your GM instead of your head coach?
I'm not. I mean, I think our GM, it's hard to be mad at him. I mean, Bucky Irving could be like the steal of the century.
Can I say something? Go ahead, Banks.
I know you want to say something.
Well, I do think the better team won. I think that Baker, I love watching Baker play. And if he's the heart of the team, Mike Evans is certainly the soul of the team. I mean, that's a fun team, and it's kind of an easy team even for me to like and to kind of, I just thought it was fun. It was a fun game. I think a little bit of the idea that it was dink and dunk is maybe accurate, but I'm not sure.
Because I don't mean that in a negative way, by the way.
Well, I know. And that's what I was going to say, because it has a negative connotation. But I think that, you know, there's all sorts of stats that Jaden, when blitzed, his numbers go down drastically. I mean, it's something like 68% completion percentage on the season. So they can't go down that much, right? I mean, they weren't that bad, but they definitely were prepared for you guys to be blitzing and coming at him a lot. And I think one of the ways you deal with that is the quick, you know, get rid of the ball fast. And so you're right. I mean, they did sort of take what was available, and they, I guess you're right. I mean, Kingsbury sort of, you know, anticipated what was coming. Yeah, that's right.
You also couldn't run against them at all, so you had to throw short passes.
Yeah, we can't run the ball at all. But what I was going to say is that for all the Jaden talk, the defense, man, I mean, our defense – I really thought this was going to be like a 45-43 game, because I didn't think our defense was going to be able to stop you guys at all. And yeah, Evans, you know, won the battle against Lattimore to a point. I mean, to a point, right? You guys only scored 20 points. That's pretty far below what your average was. And so I think the Redskins Commanders defense should get a nod here too. And then they also came up with, you know, the fumble recovery. And by the way, that was a bad play, but don't sleep on how bad those other plays were before the field goal that tied the game up, where you have some sort of like Baker run that he got stuffed on. And then it was like that weird, like the center snapped the ball and nobody else moved. And I mean, that led to, you guys had like second and one down at the 10 yard line and ended up having to kick a field goal.
So that's horrible.
That's Graham Martin's fault.
That was worse.
Second and one to take. We could have ended that game essentially. There's so many options. Whatever. I'm not from Washington.
I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury wants to coach in the NFL again, but if he does, he got a job.
He definitely does. For sure he does.
He got a job last night, because that was a masterclass last night. And the way you beat a rookie, quarterback is you blitz him. And the way you beat the blitz is you have hot reads. So it wasn't so much dink and dunk. It was just hot reads. And let me tell you something. That pass at the end of the game, when it wasn't quite sure that it was field goal range or that the clock was going to run out and the Bucks weren't going to have it, the pass to the little floating pass to Eckler on the linebacker was a brilliant play call. Like A++++.
Right over his shoulder.
It's almost indefensible.
Right.
They had the right setup for it. They knew the defense that was coming. They knew who was going to cover Eckler. It was brilliant. Kingsbury, more than anybody, outcoached that game. That's who I would give the game ball to last night. And I don't know whether it was coaching or team. I would say that trying to be as objective as possible, and I have sold short this Commanders team most of the season because I think a lot of their games – that they won were just like they should have lost the Bears game. They should have lost this game. They should have lost that game. They're playing on the road against a perennial division winner with a rookie quarterback. And I'm sorry, they outplayed the Bucs last night. I just do. I think they were the better team on the field last night. I do think that they're going to get hammered by the Lions. I do. And that's not because I think the Commanders aren't a good team. I just think the Lions are that good. I think they're going to get hammered by the Lions, but I think last night they were the better team.
Go ahead, Rooster.
Well, I was just going to say, Bison, after not winning a playoff game since 2005, and then the first year that Daniel Snyder is out, you win on the road with a rookie quarterback. How sweet is that? How do you feel as a long-suffering fan?
It's just so crazy. Like, we all knew he sucked, right? We hated him. I mean, I don't know how many times I said I hated the motherfucker and wished, you know, horrible things on him. It still do, by the way. But it's just unreal to see. I mean, ownership really does matter. I mean, that's not an accident. It's not an accident to have in 1 year. Because, by the way, we are not a Super Bowl team. We are, you know, barely a playoff team, quite honestly, if you look at the players. But that just shows you how much more in football goes in than just having the best players or the best athletes. I mean, there is a feeling on that team right now that they're not going to lose. I mean, when it was 2020, there was no doubt in my mind we were winning that game in regulation. It was over. I had no doubt about it. Because we've done it 7 times this year, and there's just such a good vibe around the team, and that just wasn't there for 25 years. And so I heard somebody say, like, you know, it was a pretty good, like, you know, suck it Snyder the whole way the regular season went, and just the good vibe and everything. But then to actually win a playoff game and on the road, that was like the ultimate middle finger. So, like,
too bad the Cowboys didn't have a guy like Dan Quinn on their staff a year or two ago.
Oh, no, right? Wait a second. Let me think. We did actually for 5 years as our DC.
Hey, House, let me just one thing on the Lions. I think you're right. I mean, I just think the Lions offense is just going to absolutely run all over the place, run pass all over the place. The only hope I would give the Commanders in that was the defense that we saw from Detroit last week an aberration, because right. That defense is so decimated by injuries. What they did last weekend was really kind of bananas. So there's two ways that Washington can win. It's either a complete shootout, or it's like yesterday where they take such long plodding drives and get points. I mean, I don't know.
What right. Ball possession was going to be key.
Yeah. But you know, like they had, I think the Bucs had one possession in the third quarter, right? I mean, so if you can keep the offense off the field going on long, slow drives, that's one way to keep that offense from scoring 100 points. But
I tend to think we lose. They are decimated, but I was talking to a Detroit Lions fan today where I was reminded, because I was asking, how did you play that? Given how decimated you are, how did you play that well against the Vikings in the season finale that got them the bye? And I was reminded that one of their defensive leaders, Jamie Anzalone, returned for that game. He had a broken arm back in November, and he helped to spearhead that defense. So they're getting healthier. David Montgomery's coming back, so he's likely to play for that game. So in the offense, you have yet an additional weapon. It's going to be tough. But hey, look, if I'm a DC fan, having been like out somewhere in the arid desert forever, I'm feeling pretty happy playing with house money right now. It's a pretty good feeling. Yep. The Eagles, for everybody that is like, people are like, oh my God, what happened in the passing game? And why was that so close? And the Packers were so injured and blah, blah, blah. that game reminded me a lot of when the Eagles squeaked out a win over the Falcons in the Super Bowl run. We beat them 15-10 when Julio Jones dropped a pass in the end zone. We almost could have lost that game. We're fine. The biggest problem about last night, which not enough people are talking about nationally, but locally they sure are, the N'Kobe Dean.
That
injury is going to kill us.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That injury is going to kill us, because whether it's Puka Nacua coming over the middle, whether it's Jordan Addison coming over the middle, the weapons that we would be facing the next game without one of our best tackling defenders, who's an outstanding linebacker, is going to kill us. And this is going to come up to Fangio. But I thought, you know, if you haven't seen, there's like a 3-minute clip today on Dan Orlovsky covering Jalen Hurts yesterday. It's great. It's like people who say what happened in the passing game, nobody was open. It was almost like the Packers knew every single route on every single down. He breaks it down. It's brilliant, actually. And someone said last night, Jalen Hurts did exactly what you're supposed to do in a playoff game. You're supposed to do two things. The defense has to play well, and the quarterback has to not make a turnover. And that's what he did. He just didn't turn over the ball. They gave it to Saquon when he had somebody open, whether it was Goddard, whether it was the touchdown to Jahan Dotson. He did what he needed to do. I'm not worried about Jalen. I'm not worried about the passing offense at all.
Packers' problem. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Rooster.
The Packers' problem is their offense right now. But their defense is the best defense from any of the teams that lost in the first round of the playoffs. They had the best defense of all the losers.
True.
And the Eagles' offensive line is maybe right now the best in football. And you've got Saquon. So run the ball. You know, I mean, the Packers have Xavier McKinley and others back there who are excellent defenders, and yet you can still run the ball down their throats, and you did it. I think the Eagles are looking good. I'm starting to think we're looking at a bird bowl for the Super Bowl, Eagles Ravens.
All right. If I had to put money on it, I think the Eagles do come out of the NFC. Okay. So I want to preface by that. I've been saying that for a while. I think they're the most complete team. I said that even when we beat them, I thought they were still the most complete team. I mean, they are loaded on both sides of the ball. I would be fucking really worried, House. You got to have a quarterback who can deliver. And, you know, I heard a stat today that in his three playoff wins, he's thrown for like 108, 138, and 118 yards, something crazy like that. Never over 150 yards.
Well, the best losing Super Bowl quarterback performance of all time. I mean,
That's true.
I'm not worried. It's a game of matchups. I'm not worried about it. By the way, Kellen Moore, speaking of, you know, I don't want to talk about the Dallas football team anymore, but Kellen Moore may be headed there too. I think he's going to be serious. I think he's going to be seriously in consideration.
If you have to get into a shootout with a team like Detroit to go to the Super Bowl, a problem.
And you think you can win in a shootout, House? Let's take Saquon out of the mix.
Well, no, he's on our team.
He's in the mix, and therefore you have a hell of a play action.
Yeah. By the way, I cannot believe this. There was a video that I saw last night. For the first time in Jalen Hurts' career, he took a snap under center where he did not have a play action where he completed a pass. He had never completed a non-play action pass from under center in his career. So look, I mean, I'm not that worried about it. I'm worried about staying healthy. And I'm really worried if we face the Rams. I think the Rams could upset the Vikings tonight.
I think so too.
Well, we'll see what Darnold shows.
Yeah. It's going to have a big impact on Sam Darnold's pocketbook. Turns out.
Didn't Sean McVay win a Super Bowl, and isn't Matt Stafford like a quarterback who's
healthy?
All right, so guys, do we need to say a word about the Bills Broncos at all?
No.
Other than the Bills are looking good.
I think the other story we haven't mentioned is the tale of two young stud quarterbacks who the NFL has sort of predestined to one of them step up and be the fifth quarterback behind Burrows in the top five, Jordan Love and Justin Herbert. Both shit the bed yesterday. And Love has been bad for weeks. Justin Herbert threw four interceptions in that game, having thrown only three the whole season. And Jordan Love has just looked terrible for a month. I don't know what's going on with that guy, but the Packers fans I know are all up in arms about, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Well, he's lost his weapons.
Yeah.
He didn't have a weapon, right?
But Justin Herbert has a horrible offensive line, and the coaches didn't really adjust for that. I think some of that was on the coaches. There was one play where their right offensive guard tried to block the defensive tackle for the Texans by just putting his head down, and the guy just swam right over his head and buried Justin Herbert. So they have a lot of work to do on that team to get better before they're going to win some playoff games.
Let's not forget, talking about young quarterbacks, who was on the other side of that game.
Stroud looked good, finally.
Did we see a resurgence of Stroud? Yeah. Is he going to remind us of his of the year he had last year in the playoffs?
He looked like it that game.
282 yards. He started out a little slowly, but made a huge play, and then from there on was downhill for him. Yeah, he looked good. Looked good.
We saw two absolutely ridiculous throws yesterday. One was the Stroud throw where he was, you know, it was just about to take a safety, right? Wasn't he all the way back in his end zone? And the other one was the Josh Allen throw. And maybe a better catch than anything. But I mean, those two passes were just ridiculous.
Baker had a pretty amazing pass too, where he basically threw it like a half an inch over the helmet of the defender. Yeah. And then Jaden Daniels had a similar pass, like the one you were talking about to Eckler. Let me ask you guys this. Who do you think has the highest paid defense in the NFL this season?
Highest paid defense?
Collectively. Yeah.
I have to think of a really highly 49ers? No.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, really?
Yep.
Well, and guess what?
They got absolutely manhandled by the Ravens.
Yeah.
So what's going on there? I mean, what's the story? Is it, you know, there's a lot of chatter today that Tomlin is really good at keeping. I mean, you know, Tomlin was the golden boy forever, never had a losing record, always gets him to the playoffs. Now I'm starting to hear the whispers of, oh, he can get him to the playoffs, but he's not in the echelon of the real teams. He's never really competitive with them. Is that the case, or are they just, they're just not going after and getting the right players?
They're in a bad spot where he's just good enough to never have a good draft pick, but not good enough to win. So they got, I mean, he threw Russell Wilson under the bus after the game, refused to praise him. Pickens refused to say anything nice about the prospects of the offense there. They're kind of in it. They have a bad locker room right now, which is unusual for the Steelers.
So, and this is
Watt was criticizing his teammates, and then the fans were getting back online saying, well, hey, you know, what did you do in that game?
I mean, they played the Ravens, by the way. That's not what I consider to be one of the best teams in the NFL. And Derrick Henry just went absolutely nuts.
Ask Minka Fitzpatrick about that.
Who did I hear? The Steelers and one other team, not that it really matters, there are two NFL teams that have no quarterbacks under contract next year, and one of them is the Steelers.
Wow.
The Steelers will not have, I don't believe they'll have either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields on that team next year. There's no reason to. I know there are some people on here that thinks Justin Fields would have a difference, but I think as it relates to Tomlin, I think what Milk said, number one, they were playing the Ravens, which is a pretty awesome team. And number two, I think that the Steelers were given no chance with Russell Wilson at quarterback. Like, it's hard to judge that. That's who he had. I don't know if that was his choice or what.
He chose Wilson over Fields.
So what you guys, based on what you're saying about the locker room and stuff, this is not an original thought either. I had a 6-hour drive today. I listened to a lot of podcasts in the car. And I don't remember who brought it up, but if you're Pittsburgh and Dallas, would you, Dallas, send your first round draft pick to Pittsburgh for Mike Tomlin?
No.
Is it?
No, not a first rounder.
Tomlin's not a first rounder.
Would you trade a pick? Would you make a trade for Mike Tomlin? If you're the Cowboys,
third or fourth rounder.
And if you're the Steelers, would you trade him away?
No.
If I were the Cowboys, I'd trade Dak for Tomlin.
How hard it is to make the playoffs in the NFL. Do you know how hard it is to have a winning record in the NFL?
Yeah, but like,
right.
But
that's why you point, should. That's, yeah, that's but, why you should. That's why you should be thankful but, for Coach Bowles.
Can it get stale?
Yeah.
Can it get stale though? I mean, you know, is there a problem? I mean, look, everybody just said there's obviously, you know, consternation on the Steelers in the Steelers locker room. Does the leadership get stale when they don't deliver?
So Shannon Sharp was talking on First Take this afternoon, and he said, you know, the Rooneys have never fired a coach before. They don't even know how to, right? Because Chuck Knoll, they've had three coaches. Chuck Knoll retired.
Bill Cowher,
mm-hmm. The coach, retired. Then Tomlin came in. So, you know, they're okay with this mediocrity right now, even though they can't get to the Super Bowl. They haven't been there in, 14 years, yet they make the playoffs every year. They're okay with that because the Rooneys are, you know, that's the way they're wired. But he said that the Pittsburgh, you know, fandom was getting fed up with Tomlin, and they want to change. But it's just not going to happen anytime. Won't happen this year.
All right. Well, let's close out the NFL with a couple thoughts. First, does anyone here think the Texans have any chance at the Chiefs?
Yes.
It's going to be freezing cold, like single digits, windy in Kansas City. Could be a defensive struggle, and the Texans have a damn good defense. So maybe. And who...
ever picking anyone against the Chiefs until
it's 7.5. The only reason I think they have a chance is it's the same reason I keep thinking Washington's gonna lose a close game. It's regression to the mean, man. I mean, the Chiefs won so many close games. At some point, you just can't win every single close game.
No, they can. It's like the Patriots. It's like their season doesn't get started until right now.
Who's Mahomes throwing the ball to these days?
Who cares?
Xavier Worthy.
My Lord and Xavier Worthy.
He'll figure it out. With
Kelsey, they'll always have Tyreek.
Kelsey will have like 200 yards receiving.
With Bison zip tied and duct tape on his mouth, does the Commanders have any chance against the Lions?
No.
Yeah, I think they do.
If they can pull off what they did last night and keep that offense off the field, I think they have a chance.
No chance.
To win, they have to have 2-1 time of possession.
And I'm going to give them more material.
Very hard.
They beat the Eagles recently. They can't be too afraid of the Lions.
They're not the Bucks.
I don't know that anybody has a chance at that stadium. It's a Lions den. That team is, I know they're hurt, but that's going to be a tough matchup for them.
We haven't talked about the big game yet, though.
Well, hold on. That's what I want to talk about.
Okay.
That's what
we're going to talk. Wait, we got TBD versus the Eagles. Does anybody think TBD has a chance?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I think the Eagles win, but I think they could be good games.
Both those teams are a bad matchup.
Both of those teams have the ability to be horrible or great any given day, and you just never know what you're getting.
Yeah. Is that Saturday or Sunday, House?
Eagles are way more consistent.
Is it going to be cold as shit?
No, 40 degrees. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
So now we get to the big one. Let's get to the big one.
Super Bowl licks, as Gronk calls it.
Exactly.
This one's definitely, there's going to be snow, wind, and single digits.
No clue. I've got no clue who's winning this game.
I don't either.
I can't tell you. Like,
This is where you wish, by the way, that the voting for MVP, because I think it's happened already, right?
I think so. Voting,
you wish it happened after this.
The thing is, in a game like this, you got to run the ball, and both teams are good at it. So who's got the edge?
Baltimore, the Ravens. I would say.
We got to take Baltimore. Right.
Baltimore is favored right now.
Are they really?
-1
Yeah.
Why?
That's like 4 points.
No, they are.
Three per home field.
One of these quarterbacks is going to make a late, horrible mistake that's going to decide the game. It's either going to be a Josh Allen fumble or a Lamar interception or even fumble, but one of these quarterbacks is going to make a late turnover that's going to decide that game.
History says Lamar is more likely to do it.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. Allen's got some pretty epic bonehead plays.
This game's going to be awesome.
Yeah, but who's been more successful in the playoffs over the years? It's been Allen.
Yeah. Lamar needs to get that one off his back.
Well, neither of them have a Super Bowl, right? So.
Yeah, well, go through Arrowhead.
So here's what's interesting. For the Eagles to get to the Super Bowl, there's a very likely chance they'll have to run the gauntlet of going through the entire NFC North, the vaunted NFC North of beating the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions, which would be one hell of a run, and then maybe have to beat the Chiefs or the Bills, the Ravens. That would be a pretty unbelievable trophy to hold up.
It would.
But for either the Ravens or the Bills, I mean, they have to beat one another, likely the Chiefs, and then likely somebody like Lions or Eagles or Vikings. Like, we're going to have a champion this year that's really been tested, like really, really been tested, I think.
By the way, House, on a related note, and if you listen to Bill Simmons today, you would have heard, you know, the answer to this. Do you know how many times the Redskins and Eagles have played in the playoffs?
I do.
Ever? You know, ever?
I don't remember one.
You said the right word. One.
Was it the strike year?
No. Well, it was 91 wasn't the strike year.
No.
Our last Super Bowl, we won 20-6. It was the Mark Griffin.
Yeah, we played terrible. I remember that. I actually remember that. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was a great, even though some of them were blowouts, it was a great wild card weekend with a lot of drama. And sorry, Milk, congrats, Bison. The torch has been passed. Milk, enjoy hockey season.
The divisional playoffs are like, this is like the best week of the year. These games.
Yeah,
this coming. Yeah.
It's not going to be a bad game among them.
I feel really bad for Nace and Toby because one of them will be in my shoes. They have to. It sucks.
Well,
the water's warm.
Not necessarily next week.
No, he's just saying that we both can't win the Super Bowl, so someone's going to get knocked out of the playoffs.
That's right. It's not going to be the Commanders.
How juicy would that be, though? The second playoff game ever. The NFC Championship game.
I am rooting for the Commanders. There's no question about it.
You should be.
What an amazing number two draft pick that was.
Yeah.
Really, really kind of right up there with Phil Simms.
I might go to the Eagles Commanders NFC Championship game, by the way. I might fly up there.
All right. So can we now talk about the most expensive ticket in college football history?
The Jesus Bowl.
Well, you got touchdown Jesus.
Field goal Jesus.
Well, someone who cares about college football, take it away.
Does anybody care about college football?
I'm just going to tell you guys this. Notre Dame is 12-2-1 against the spread this year. So think about that when it comes to
it's
opening up
spread.
Your apps.
Is it?
It's a big spread.
It was like nine and a half. Yeah, nine and a half earlier.
It's eight right now. What I'm seeing right now is eight.
All right. So the money's going on the Irish right now then because it was 9.5 to open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, I think that Notre Dame has a chance. But God knows, Ohio State they're a juggernaut right now. Texas actually played, I thought, a really good game against Ohio State, got them out of their comfort zone and had, you know, opportunities. I mean, we can talk about Sark's inability to score on four plays from the one. Well, didn't get four from the one because on second down, he thought it'd be genius to do a sweep 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage on a stacked line for Ohio State, which made no sense. I think you were should have recognized that you should have called timeout. Or sorry,
you're right.
Somebody should have called timeout.
Right, and if you're going to run, if you're going to try to get to the pylon because you think they're stacking the line, you have to at least fake the ball up the middle and maybe even have a little misdirection. You can't just pitch it out there and hope your guy outruns their guys. They've got some speed in that secondary there.
But you got to hand it to Sawyer. He got a tip on the third down and goal, and then on fourth down, you know, made the play of the year so far in college football by scoop and score.
He's still trying to catch his breath, I heard.
Again, I mean, what, you know, got to love sports, against his former roommate at Ohio State when they were freshmen together. And, you know, it was at post game, it was funny because Ewers told Sawyer, he said, you know, screw you, you know, kind of laughed and slapped him. You know, obviously they're very competitive, but it's good to see that sportsmanship still is there. But I think Ohio State.
Yes, college football, the beacon of sportsmanship and all that is right with sports in the world.
Or right. Sawyer, you know, the guy who ripped the Michigan flag off. I think this is Ryan Day's time. I think this is Ohio State's got a team. They were, you know, preseason number one. They're the team that was built to win this game. Notre Dame has a chance, but they got to almost play a perfect game in my mind.
I did not remember that Ohio State was preseason number one.
But their roster's loaded.
Yeah.
You guys know that Marcus Freeman played at Ohio State.
Well, I love the Notre Dame story, and I really like Riley Leonard. I mean I like the journey, and he's a tough quarterback, but I Pope, you just nailed it. Ohio State has better players, period. And this is not a team built on, there's some transfer portal guys,
Caleb Downs came from Alabama,
a couple guys, but mostly it's a recruiting, these are recruits, most of them that are playing. And if you go back and look, as I've said many a times, Ohio State is one of the only teams. Now, this is changing as college football is evolving, is one of the few Big Ten teams to always be in the top three in recruiting, top four recruiting classes every single year. They have better players.
Starting with Urban Meyer. He made them into an SEC type team.
They are an SEC type of team, and they have better players than Notre Dame, and it's going to show. And Ohio State's going to, and they're hot as shit. Like Will Howard has come out of nowhere. Like,
right.
But
he's a transfer.
More than any other sport, when you have hand to hand combat, you know, man versus man, anything can happen in a game. I have to go put my money on Ohio State. I'll be right back.
Listen. Riley Leonard speaks directly to Jesus. End of story.
He might. If he wins this game, he might. Because
yeah, that's right.
I don't see Riley
Leonard for Pope.
I will tell you this. Like, we forget because it seems like 7 years ago this happened. But that, how far has Notre Dame come from that Northern Illinois loss?
Right.
We're ready to fire Marcus Freeman after that game.
Right.
Well, same with Ohio State after the Michigan loss.
Wow, Northern Illinois.
Ryan Day has saved his job with all of this. I mean, you can't keep losing to Michigan and do nothing in the postseason, and that's all behind him. But I do want to ask you guys this, since we're talking about coaches from Pennsylvania who do not get it done, and it's a question, what do we do? So, guys, I mean, Franklin has one big win against a top team in his career, and he just never gets it done. If you're a Penn State fan, okay, fine, you're in the national semifinal, and I hear what you say, Milk, about making the playoffs and all this other stuff in sports, but like, do you say Franklin's just not going to get you to the promised land? Move on.
You know what his all-time series wins against top 10 teams are?
It's like 1-15 or something.
1-12.
He's 4-20 against top 10. I'm
surprised he has four.
Four.
How do you keep?
And by the way, House, they were in the playoffs, but they had the easiest fucking run.
Sure.
How do you keep him as your coach?
You mean SMU and Boise State? Come on.
But how do you keep him as your coach when Mike McCarthy's available?
That's a fair point.
I'd get on the phone right now.
I kind of wish we had a Penn Stater on here, because I want to know if someone like really died in the blue and white, if they'd say he's got to go.
Well, we could find out and report back.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on college?
Properly, he would have been out in the first round.
All right. I mean, we'll have a pod next week, but let's just put our money on the line now. Who's winning the national championship? And if you're going to say Ohio State, is Notre Dame going to cover?
Ohio State, they will cover.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm going.
They being Ohio State will cover.
Ohio State, and it's two touchdowns.
No, I think Notre Dame's going to cover it, but lose.
Okay.
I'll say it. I'll take Notre Dame since nobody else is going to. Somebody should be right.
You've been with them from the beginning.
Go Irish, baby.
I'll take them.
I'm with our college football experts. I think Ohio State wins this one in a laugher.
Yeah, I think it could be 25 to 30 points.
What's a better story for college football?
Oh, Freeman winning, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, Notre Dame, sure.
Notre Dame.
Nobody likes Ryan Day. I mean,
first time since 1988. Ridiculous.
Dyed beard and all this other.
It is hard to be, when you're Notre Dame, to be the less hated team in a game. Right? You got to work at that for Notre Dame to be the darling. Jeez. Okay.
How long has it been? 1988?
88. Lou Holtz.
Yeah. 88.
Wow. All right. Anything else, college? Guys, who's got a punch this week? Don't call it a comeback.
I do.
All right.
I'm going to punch Michael Lewis, 55-year-old Texas man who has been driving around Caitlin Clark's house, stalking her on social media with sexually explicit messages and threats, at the same time telling people that he has an imaginary relationship with her. He was just arrested today, and I just, you know, maybe he has serious mental illness, but
you think,
you know, I have a message for 55-year-old dudes, 20-something-year-old women ain't interested in your lame ass, especially if you have to have imaginary friends. Get a fucking life.
That's a good punch. That is a good punch.
Hey, like, seriously, does that, like, they lose interest in your 50s? Is that real?
I haven't found that to be the case, but I think I'm an outlier.
I'm not there yet. Too much with generalization.
Serious, man?
I have at least slap, but in the I'm not done with the Packers yet. And in their post game misery, the game opened up with Kayshon Nixon's fumble off the opening kickoff. And today, Kayshon Nixon has decided to announce to the Packers that he refuses to return kicks anymore.
Oh.
Like, I'm a CB1, which is not really true. Right. I'm a CB1, he claims, which is not true. He only is by default because J.R. Alexander's hurt. I'm a CB1, and I don't want to return kicks anymore. That's not part of my job.
Well, when you're returning kicks and you get targeted, I get it.
You can be punched right out the door, Kayshon Nixon. Like, whatever.
Any others?
I'm skipping over Pope.
I've got one.
Yeah. All right.
I brought this up to you guys last week. I am punching PGA Tour golfer Sahith Theegala.
Oh my god!
For announcing during the Soto Open, awful fires are taking place in California. He's out at the Sony Open in Hawaii, and he says he's going to donate for every birdie $100, and for an eagle, he really upped it to $250. I don't know how he played in this tournament. I don't know how many birdies he had, but I think he maybe broke 1,000, maybe, over 4 days.
Well, you know what, Milk?
I mean, at least he did something. Wouldn't you punch every other player for not stepping up themselves?
No.
Yeah. No. If you're going to announce it, it's got to be something that is meaningful based on your income.
Yeah,
he made $8 million last year on the tour.
If he just did it anonymously, that'd be one thing. But
he's
trying to get a little PR off of this, and he's making, you know, probably $10 million a year.
So by the way, he obviously got a lot of heat because he has now announced that he's extending it. But I don't think he increased the amount. He's extending it for several weeks. Nice. So
whoa, I mean, look, the guy's trying to do something good.
I appreciate it.
Does he not have any? It's like, you know, when you see somebody walks out of the house and you're like, why are they wearing that? Do they not have a friend? Like, doesn't he have a friend who said, yeah, you know, I don't think you want to put this out there, man. I don't think this is the way to go. Nobody in his orbit was like, that's not good. Not a good look, man.
If I ever have an eagle in my career, I will donate $5,000 to the charity of y'all's choice.
Whoa.
Okay.
Each of us?
That's how confident I am that I've never had.
That would be our fantasy football league.
Interesting.
IBFL LLC.
All right. Any other punches?
I have a milk slap. Good, okay. And House has already touched on this, but I'm going to milk slap all of the sports writers and commentators and podcasters who got themselves all exercised over the fact that AJ Brown was reading a inspirational book on the sideline. You know, give it a rest, man. So what? It's just such a stupid story. And it just dominated the shows for 24 hours. It's what's wrong with sports that story elevated itself to the top of every stupid show, including First Take and everything else. I mean, find something interesting to talk about, you losers.
Any other punches? Woof. Way to start the year off in good spirits, gentlemen. Okay, who's got a lasso?
Barbecue sauce.
I have a real life lasso. So there is a club that plays in the English second division named Plymouth. You might have heard a little bit about them because their coach was somebody pretty famous named Wayne Rooney.
Mm.
Wayne Rooney was a terrible, terrible manager. His last 9 games, he lost 0-2, 0-4, 0-2, 0-4, 1-6, tied 1-1, 0-3, 0-1, 0-5. And after all of that, they sacked him. And then they enter into this competition amongst all of the English leagues. There's like a gazillion of them, and they play in this competition called the FA Cup. And the FA Cup, the chances are that the top division, the English Premier League, those teams are going to be the ones that make it all the way to the end. But right now we're in the third round of the English FA Cup. And this past weekend, with basically Ted Lasso coaching the Plymouth, what are they, the Plymouth Argyles or something like that, they faced the Premier League team Brentford, and in a shocking upset with a borrowed coach of a Ted Lasso, Plymouth beat Brentford 1-0. And for those fans, this was really like the Richmond Greyhound, awesome. AFC Richmond. This was pretty fun. That's a real Ted Lasso that actually happened in the FA Cup, which is why the FA Cup's so great, because the different divisions face each other. That was a pretty cool story.
Good one.
Any other lassos? All right. Who's got a buzzer beater?
I've got one. You have one, Bison? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just going to to keep it, fresh on everybody's mind and give a quick update on the Gretzky versus Ovechkin chase, the chase here. Ovechkin, 22 goals away, 39 games remaining this season. He's scoring 0.74 goals a game right now. And by my quick mathematical skills, that means he's going to be really close at the end of the season. So it could happen. He's getting a lot of empty netters right now. So he's
Bison,
definitely getting
what was that stat that Moose Jaw had about how many goals Avi had between time to the Red Bulls Commanders had won.
That was funny.
It's like 848 goals between them. They've been in the playoffs. Wins.
Yes, that's right. Pretty wild.
That is awesome.
Well, Rooster, you got a buzzer beater?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, I haven't quite gotten into NBA yet, but it might be time. I mean, it's some exciting things happening in the league. The Cavs, we talked about them last couple of shows. The Cavs are 33-5 with a .868 winning percentage under Kenny Atkinson. OKC is 32-6 under Mark Dagno with an .842 winning percentage. These two young teams are really on fire. Fun
and that's
to watch.
Without Chet, right?
Chet's been hurt. Another interesting story has been the guy who just refuses to go away, Russell Westbrook. He's had a renaissance on the Nuggets. He is for two-man assists, two-man, you know, like where one guy's feeding the other guy, like Stockton and Malone. The team, the duo of Russell Westbrook and the Joker are third in the league of all possible combinations, behind only Trae Young to Jalen Johnson, who have 91 assists, and Chris Paul to Wemby with 90. Russ has 84 assists to Joker this year.
Wow.
You know, there's got to be a thousand or two other combinations in the league, and they're number three. I mean, Joker has to be the reason for this, but a pretty good turnaround for a guy whose career for like 5 years has been on the skids.
All right. Anybody got anything else?
Oh, and the Pistons have a winning record and are eighth in the East, ahead of teams like Atlanta and Philly. Who would have ever guessed that? Watch some games. Start watching some games.
All right. Well,
it's a race to the Cooper Flag lottery prize right now with the Wizards and Pelicans and Raptors, it looks like.
Let's go, Wiz. Keep up the good work, fellas.
I did want to end with saying we forgot to talk about in the NFL section, but thank you to Saquon for absolutely screwing me over in my bet.
What?
Freaking slid at the end.
What a class act.
Boy. Not,
guys the best.
Half the country doesn't think so today, Toby. Half the country disagrees.
He said he did it because he didn't want people to get hurt.
Uh-huh. Himself.
Like, hurt a lot of
people. Yeah, but he hurt a lot of people.
People got hurt. Don't have to
hail to the Redskins. Hail victory. Praise on the warpath. Fight for all we see. Run a pass and score, we want a lot more. Beat them, swap them, touch them, let the points soar.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first-place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay, and he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.